You are listening to the E2C Network, where the Auburn family speaks.
Hello, welcome to Inside the Jungle. My name is Chandler Fullman, and I am joined today by my co-host, Jace Phillips. And we have a very special guest with us today, Mr. Eric Ellis, better known as Big E to many people, including myself. And so how are you today, Big E?
I'm great, Chandler and Jace. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to doing this tonight.
Yes, sir. We appreciate you joining us.
So we are going to discuss an array of different things this evening, including the NBA draft, which Big E attended. And then we are going to talk about the trip to Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, Israel. And then we're going to talk a little about the lineup and the newcomers. So we'll start with the NBA draft. Jace, what'd you think about the draft?
Well, I definitely think that Jabari going to the Rockets and not being picked first, that definitely is going to have a chip on his shoulder, and I think he's definitely going to, you know, want something to prove immediately. And so I think that was probably the biggest takeaway from me. And then kind of the whole situation of Walker being drafted and then, you know, all the trade and deals and things that were made after that and finally finding his home in Utah. So, I'm excited for both of those guys, and I think they both got a lot to prove.
Yes, I thought Jabari being picked third definitely leaves a chip on Jabari's shoulder and gives him some motivation. But, Big E, how was your trip to the draft? And just tell us a little about it and what happened that day and what went on and just everything involved.
Okay, great. Well, I had the privilege of going with the coaching staff up there to the draft. We took the university jet, which was scheduled to take both university jets. At the last minute, one of the planes had a mechanical issue, so had to go to plan B, and the staff went on the other jet, the AU jet, and the folks in my group went on a booster plane. But everything worked out okay, and it was really a unique experience. It was held at the Barclays Center, and if any of you've been there or watched any games on TV, you'll know that the middle section has suites around the middle, all the way around the arena. And we were privileged to be in one of those suites overlooking the floor where the draft actually took place. It was a very unique setup, and I was very honored and privileged to be there. It's kind of one of those bucket list items, I guess, and being able to go with the staff was really, really a lot of fun.
Definitely. What did you think about Jabari not going until the third pick? And then what did you think about where Walker Kessler went?
Well, I think with Jabari, from an Auburn perspective, I think everybody was surprised that he did not go as the first overall pick. It was a kind of a bittersweet scenario inside the suite and on the floor, because Coach Pearl obviously was, I think, somewhat surprised or a little bit disappointed that Jabari did not go first. However, after he got picked third, it was kind of a relief. And, you know, when BP and his staff had time to really kind of let things soak in, it was obvious that they were extremely proud of their player, because, you know, going third in the overall draft is a major accomplishment.
Definitely.
And Jabari's family was there, and obviously they were very proud as well. And, you know, I don't know how many of our listeners have had a chance to kind of be around Jabari or are watching play, but he's just a super, super young man. You know, he had all, with his talent, he had all the reasons he could have kind of been a diva or a superstar, but that is not in his DNA at all. He was a super teammate, became a leader on the team early on last year, and that was reflected even in the draft. You could tell some disappointment on his face by not going first, but again, after being drafted third and being able to let that soak in, he was a very humble and very appreciative young man for the future that lays in front of him.
Yeah, and Big E, I just want to touch on something you just said. I think you hit the nail on the head talking about just the kind of phenomenal guy Jabari was. And one thing I really thought was cool is how on this big stage he has been such an advocate for Auburn, him and Walker both. And I think that's just been a great thing for Bruce Pearl and our whole basketball program, and just getting guys here for the future, definitely.
It says a lot, Jace, when your guy's drafted, and the first thing he does is open his sport coat, and he has all those Auburn things, I guess, sewn or woven into the inside of his coat. That, to me, that spoke volumes about that he is a true Auburn man. And you asked me about Walker, too. You know, Walker went in a good spot, too, considering he was only here for 1 year and only playing two years of college ball. I think if there was any weakness on Walker's part going into the draft, you know, from some scuttlebutt that we heard once we got up there from some of the scouts, was that they were saying that if he has a weakness, and I say if, it would be that he kind of needs to bulk up and kind of get a little bit bigger, because he may struggle a little bit adjusting to the rigors of the NBA, you know, playing in the paint. But his upside is pretty phenomenal. And there again, you've got another super kid coming from a great mm-hmm. family. It's just a testament to what this staff is doing, bringing in not only great athletes, but great people as well. And both of these kids are evidence of that.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think Walker, we knew coming into the season that Jabari was probably going to be a top five, top 10 pick. I mean, his talent was just off the charts. But I really think Walker, I think 22nd overall. I mean, that is incredible, because he came from North Carolina, a blue blood basketball school, where he was only, I think, averaging maybe 3 to 5 points a game.
Maybe 6 or 8 minutes a game, I think.
Yeah. And then he comes to Auburn, and I mean, it's just incredible his transformation in 1 year. And the way that Bruce Pearl developed Walker Kessler and just took Walker to a whole new level. 22nd in the NBA draft. And I think that's just a testament to Bruce Pearl and the coaching staff's development.
Absolutely, Chandler. Coming in, I think the plan for Walker was he'll probably be here 2 years and then develop and get better and then go in the second year. But you hit it. With the development that he was able to accomplish with his staff and playing with his teammates, he literally, you know, went from a low level player to obviously a first round pick in 1 year. So, and that's a testament to his work ethic, and also a testament to the kind of staff we have here to be able to develop players. Because, as you know, this staff has done that really from day one.
Agreed, 100%. I mean, the entire staff has done a great job. I mean, Wes Flanagan, Chad Pruitt, Burgermaster, I mean,
Ira Bowman.
Damon Davis. I mean, and I'm sure we left somebody off.
Marquise Daniels is a guy that played in the pros. And so, you know, one of his major jobs is just to be around the kids and live life with them and help them get ready for their future. All the way down the line.
I think the Auburn staff that Bruce Pearl has pieced together is truly one of a kind, and is truly a testament to the great knowledge and coaching ability of Coach Pearl and the way he can piece together a staff. But let's go ahead and move on. Unless, Jace, do you have anything else about the draft?
No, I think that's about it. So let's go ahead and transition into talking about the Birthright for College Basketball Tour. And Big E is actually going to be attending this tour alongside the team. So we're excited to have him kind of talk about, you know, that and us preview this tour that the team's going to be going on from July 31st through August the 10th. So, Big E, can you just kind of tell us what are some things that the team might be doing while they're over there other than playing a little basketball?
Okay, we leave Saturday, 30th, I think it is. Yep, headed to Israel. And about, as you mentioned, Jace, the team will be playing 3 games in Israel, and they're over there for about, I think, in Israel, actually, for 10 days. It's about a 2-week trip, counting the travel of going and coming. But there are several days set aside to tour, obviously, the Holy Land and see the sights over there. And I know one of the main thing, well, one of the two main things Coach Pearl wants to do is develop that team chemistry, that bonding. And, man, I mean, what a great way to do that, taking a team of, I think, 4 or 5 newcomers on staff.
Mm-hmm.
And their first trip's going to be to go to Israel, to the Holy Land. I mean, that's a trip of a lifetime, a bucket list item. And I hope these guys realize what they're in for and what Auburn University and Coach Burley and his staff are providing.
Just how lucky and how blessed they are to be able to go on this trip.
Yes, yes.
But go ahead and continue telling us about what exactly is going to go on and happen on the trip. I mean, if you know.
They furnished us a preliminary itinerary. I should have brought it tonight, but I didn't. But I think I can remember most of it from memory. As I said, there are three ball games that will be played at 8 o'clock Israel time and 12 noon Central time here. And all three games will be televised on the SEC Network. And then I know that the team is going to take 2 or 3 days to visit some specific Holy Land sites, and there's some things that just Bruce Pearl and the staff know about, which is fine because again they're going over there to bond and develop the roster and get ready for the season. But I do know that Coach Pearl has 2 or 3 special things planned for them to really kind of not only help them bond from a basketball perspective, but also to see where Jesus walked and just to experience the Holy Land.
Yeah, I think that's will be truly a trip of a lifetime for these young men. And like you said, I hope they truly grasp and understand just how blessed and lucky they are to be able to make this trip as a 18 to 22-year-old young man.
Absolutely. We fly into Jerusalem and stay in Jerusalem for the first 4 days and the first basketball game will be played in Jerusalem. Then everybody will transition over to Tel Aviv, which is, I think, well, it used to be the capital. Now Jerusalem's the capital, mm-hmm. thanks to the previous administration. But anyway, on day four, we transition over to Tel Aviv, and we'll be there for the remainder of the trip. And the last two games will be played in Tel Aviv. And I think the last game is going to be played against an Israeli semi-pro team, which is going to be some really top-notch competition. That ought to really stretch our guys. And
yeah. Jace, would you like to tell us a little about the schedule that these guys are going to be playing?
Yes. So on August the 2nd, we will be playing the 20U national team from Israel, and that game will take place in Jerusalem, like Big E said. On August the 7th, we'll be playing the Israel All-Star Select team, and both of those games will be actually all three of these games are going to be at 12 Central. And on August the 8th, we'll be playing the Israel national team. So,
and I think, Jace, those last two games are in Tel Aviv, right?
Yes. The second and third game are both in Tel Aviv, and the first game is in Jerusalem.
So we're playing one team twice, and then the semi-pro team of the last game.
Well, we're playing the All-Star Select team, the national team, and then a 20U team.
So it looks like we're playing three different teams. I don't know if any of these Israeli guys. I don't know if any of those guys will be on two different teams.
That's a great question.
I don't know. I did look up the under 20 team, and Noam Dovrat is their leading scorer, averaging 17.7 points per game. He is a 6'5" small forward. And then their second leading scorer, Gilad Levy, is a 7'1 center averaging 15 points per game. And he is also the leading rebounder, averaging 9 rebounds a game. So I'll be interested in how we match up against this 7'1 guy that's averaging 15 and 9. I think that'll be interesting in how we match up against him. And then their leading assist guy is Amit Aharoni, averaging 5.3 assists per game. And then I was unable to find anything on the All-Star Select team, but the Israeli national team is led by Tomer Gennat, averaging 13.3 points per game. He's a 6'8 power forward, and then he's also their leading rebounder with 7.8 rebounds per game. Just some names to look out for while you're watching Auburn on the SEC Network are Tomer Gennat. That it will be on August 8th. And then probably Noam Dovrat will be a name to watch out for on August 2nd. But any last comments or any other comments on what you're looking forward to most on the trip?
I think I'm just looking forward to the team having that experience together, able to bond, and also just to kind of start playing some ball together and learning how to play as a team. I did read that this is only the second foreign trip ever that will be aired on the SEC network. So, either, you know, all of that being said, I think it's just a great opportunity for the team.
And why do you think Auburn is being televised on an ESPN network for only the second time as far as an international trip? Why do you think that is?
I think that just all goes back to Bruce Pearl and this,
bingo,
and this
bingo
program that he's building. So,
You know, BP was with the ESPN networks prior to being named head coach at Auburn for what, Chandler? Three or four years?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he made some great contacts up there. And, you know, BP being the promoter and the master PR guy that he is, you know, I probably called in some favors or, you know, kind of used a little leverage. And ESPN is televising these games. And what a great promotion for Auburn basketball.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, we're the only thing going this summer for the next 2 weeks.
Yes, 100%. That'll be an incredible trip for the guys. I'm really excited to watch them on TV with all three games being televised. Just an incredible trip to get Auburn some national exposure. And, I mean, just an incredible opportunity for these guys as well. I mean, I really don't see – I don't think there is a downside to this trip. So I just think it's an outstanding opportunity for everybody involved, and I'm super excited to see how it plays out.
And the rumor is that ESPN is also going to send some folks on this trip to do a little kind of behind-the-scenes documentary.
Okay.
And supposedly that may be ready to be broadcast probably sometime this fall or going into a basketball season. And you know, if you've ever watched some of those things on ESPN, those are, to me, really, really fun things because you get to see a lot of behind-the-scenes things that you don't that average fan never gets to see. So that ought to be interesting.
So, Jace, do you want to lead us off transitioning into talking about the newcomers on the team?
Yes, so we will be having three freshmen join the roster in Yoan Traor, Chance Westry, and Trey Donaldson. Trey Donaldson and Chance Westry, Bruce and his staff have been out to get them for a while. But Yoan Traor is one name that – you know, for those of you that don't know, he was once committed to LSU. And so, you know, once LSU's coach was fired, we were kind of able to, you know, steal Traor from them. And I think that he's going to be a great addition to this roster and really be one of those players that can kind of give us some action right away.
Yeah, and I'm really excited to see Chance Westry. I think he's probably, in my opinion – I think he's probably the name that's been least talked about, coming in playing like a shooting guard, small forward role. But I really think that he's going to be electric. And from the videos I have seen, all I've heard about him, he can shoot the ball. And I'm really looking forward to seeing him, be a Bryce Brown, Mustafa Heron type player. Maybe kind of a mixture between the two. Really excited about his potential and his future.
Hey, Auburn fans, I want to take a quick timeout from this episode to bring your attention to something very special. Here at the E2C Network, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best content for Auburn fans out there. And best of all, it's free to you. But just because it's free doesn't mean there aren't costs. Especially when you have a library of hundreds of podcasts, videos, blogs, and more. Many of you have reached out and asked how you can support this network in the past. Well, now I have your answer. It's called the E2C Network Booster Club over at patreon.com/E2C Network. There you'll find a membership monthly reward system where you can sign up for as little as $1 and get different perks at different tiers. Some of those perks include things such as apparel, eligibility to join us on future podcasts, recognition as an E2C Network booster, exclusive communications, and bonus content that is available nowhere else. If you love this network and want to help us keep producing podcasts like this one, please head on over to patreon.com/E2C Network to join the E2C Network Booster Club. You can also get there by going to our website, E2CNetwork.com/support. Whether you decide to join or not, we are still so appreciative that you would support us by just listening and being here, because each and every one of you is part of our E2C Network family. Well, that's it. Timeout's over. Let's get back into the episode.
Then we also are adding a transfer in Johnny Broom, who I am thrilled about. Jace, tell us a little about Mr. Broom.
Yes, so Johnny Broom is coming to us from Morehead State. In his freshman year at Morehead State, he averaged 16.8 points a game and 10.5 rebounds a game. So I would say averaging a double-double your freshman year in college, that's not too bad. So
yeah, Biggie, I think you've been able to go and see a few practices live in person. What can you tell us about these four newcomers? Who has been shown out? Are you excited to see anybody in particular?
Yeah, I did have a chance to go to a practice about, I guess, a week or 10 days ago. And on that particular day, the staff was actually, most of the practice while I was there was putting in plays and trying to get folks to learn, where to be in this position when the mm-hmm. ball goes here and when you change and change guarding another player and that type of thing. But just from the naked eye, and I'm certainly far, far from an expert, but just from the naked eye, from a fan's perspective, it looked like that all four of our new guys were basketball and smart, if you were, for most of the plays. Bruce was Bruce would kind of walk through the play and show everybody where to be, where to go, and then they would run the play a couple of times and most of the time after that second time, pretty much everybody had it down,
yeah.
Which was impressive to me because you got four new guys on the floor, three of which I think are freshmen, right?
Yes. That is correct. Yeah. And I think Trey Donaldson, he is another player that's kind of an under-the-radar player that you don't hear a lot of talk about him, but he is a phenomenal athlete. He even had, he once was he's a two-sport athlete, and he even had several Division I offers for both, football and basketball. So I think Trey Donaldson, he brings a lot to the team as far as just his athleticism and being able to drive to the goal. I think he will be a big addition, and I think that being able to play alongside players like Wendell Green and Zepp Jasper, those will be two players that I feel like can really help him mold his game and, really develop himself.
Yeah, based on what I saw just that one day of practice and obviously just being out there for an hour and a half, there's obviously a lot more stuff I'm sure that's being installed, obviously. But just from that one day, Jonai Broom and Johan Treor are two young guys, but obviously it's going to be tough to replace a Walker Kessler and a
Jabari,
yeah. But these guys are athletic and they have talent, and so just probably we may grow as the season goes on. May struggle a little early, but based on their athleticism, hopefully by the time the SEC season gets here, we'll be running this thing like smooth oil, so to speak.
Yeah, and something I'm really excited about with Johan is just simply the fact that he will be in an Auburn uniform instead of an LSU uniform. And, yeah, that's probably a little shot at LSU, but...
So be it.
Yeah, so be it. But also, I think it's truly... We truly should value how he is truly in a Auburn uniform instead of a LSU uniform, because, you think about that guy, he was a top 25 recruit in the nation. He could be a playmaker and he could change a game.
No question.
And that's a huge difference in he could be changing the game for LSU. Now he's going to be changing the game for Auburn. So I'm really excited to see him play and all four of these guys. So
yeah, Donaldson and
Westry.
Yeah, Chance Westry. Yeah. I think they're both going to help from both guard spots. And as you mentioned, Westry may play a little small forward as well. Which last year as we struggled a little bit down the stretch. We didn't have a lot of depth from those two guard positions. So these two kids coming in with Zepp and Wundelotta really, really helped as far as that depth-wise from the one and two spot.
Yeah, I agree. And one other addition to this roster is Jalen Harper. And Jalen Harper, while he probably will be named a walk-on, I just think that that's really cool to see, you know, seeing Jared Harper come through Auburn. And, you know, everybody knows, you know, what kind of player Jared was and how much he meant to the Auburn family and how fun he was to watch. And now getting to see his brother get the same opportunity to be a part of this team and be a part of Bruce Pearl's staff, I think that's just really cool for the Harper family and, you know, for us as the Auburn family to get to see.
And, Jace, that's just another testament to the type of program that we have here. You know, you don't see lots of times a kid that follow a brother who was a great player, who was a playmaker here, led us to a championship, and Jared, and now his younger brother's coming in as a walk-on. And I'm sure a lot of that's because of the experience that his brother had and the family feeling real good about this coaching staff and this coaching staff embracing that family aspect.
Yep, 100% agreed. And I think our last topic of the day is just going to be talking about the entire team and the entire team in general, and then what each of us thinks will be the starting lineup this season for Auburn. So I'm going to let Jace lead us off because Jace probably knows the least, don't you think? No, I'm just kidding. But I think, Jace, lead us off. Since you are the only person with the notes, I'm going to just be honest here. Jace is the only person that truly prepared.
That's right.
So, Jace, why don't you lead us off in talking about who your starting lineup would be?
Yes, I definitely think that we are going to have one newcomer in the lineup, and Jonah Broom. And I think that, you know, he'll be playing the five. I think that Wendell will be the one this year. But I do think that time will be split pretty evenly with Zepp. I don't think it'll, you know, be primarily Wendell with a little bit of Zepp. I think that time will be pretty even, just like it was last year. I think KD will be the two, but I think that Chance Westry is going to be a name that you hear a lot this year. I think he's going to be a player that's an instant impact and, you know, one that has a lot to contribute. I think he's just a really good team player, and I think that's a huge reason on why Bruce was so interested in Chance so early. I do think that Flanagan will get the three, but I do think this is the year you're going to see Chris Moore, you know, start to push Flanagan a little bit, and I think Chris Moore, you know, he's the type of player, he can play the three, but he can also, you know, play a little big boy ball and play the four if he has to. And I think Jay Will will get the go at the four. But once again, another immediate impact player I think will be Yoan Traore. I think he's going to be somebody that can really, you know, give Jay Will, a challenge. And I think that'll help, you know, Jay Will's game tremendously because, you know, if you've got somebody right there competing with you at your position, that just makes you, you know, you want to improve yourself even more and, you know, just, you know, be the best you can for the team. And I think that Dylan Cardwell, you know, he is about as big of an Auburn man as you can be. And I think he's probably one of the fan favorites. And I think that he has been putting in tremendous amount of work this offseason. He's gotten in really good shape and he's gotten to where he can run the floor, you know, about as good as any big man you're going to have. So I think you're going to see a huge transformation in Cardwell's game, and I'm excited to see what he can bring to that center position as well.
Yeah, I have a couple disagreements. I know that's a shocker for Jace. Me and Jace disagree just to disagree sometimes. But I think we are going to see Zepp continue to start at the one, in my opinion. Now, is that to mean that Wendell is not worthy of starting? No. I just think Wendell will actually, in my opinion, I think he might see some time at the two this year. And I think Trey Donaldson might be a player that we could see at the two. I think Chance Westry and KD, I think Chance Westry more so could be a player that we could see at the two or the three. I think a lot of these players on this team have an option to play one or two or possibly even three different positions, which I am really excited. But I'll go ahead and get to the starting lineup part. So I'm going to put Zelp at the one, KD at the two, and that is very, very close. I think Chance will really push to either take KD or Flanagan's spot. But I'm going to go ahead and give Flanagan the nod at the three. And then here's where I'm going to change it up a little bit. I'm going to give Traore the nod at the four. And that's not a shot at Jalen. I just really like – I think Jalen is truly a great team player. And Jalen could very well be the starter. I could very well be wrong on this. I know I'm not wrong a lot. That's a joke. But I think Traore will get the start at the four. And then I do agree that Broome will be getting the start at the five. But a player that I agree with Jace to watch out for is Dylan Cardwell. I know that he has greatly improved this season. John Rothstein sent out a tweet saying, watch Dylan Cardwell to be the most improved player in the SEC. So I'm really excited to see how Cardwell has improved and progressed. But that's who I think will be the starting five. What do you think, Big E?
I'm going to take a different slant than you two guys. And, of course, you know, all this is just opinions, personal opinions on our part. But I think initially, especially in Israel, you're going to see some – kind of crazy lineup than from what we kind of expect, because with these four new teammates on the roster, you know, Bruce and his staff have an opportunity to take these early season games in August, which you don't normally have, and I think you're going to see Zepp, Wendell, Chance, and KD. And the other new guy play one, two, and maybe a Chance and who am I leaving out? Who's the other guard? Trey, thank you, Trey. Yeah, maybe play some two and three. Because really this team has an opportunity here. They've got about 2 or 3 months here to play three games against quality competition to just try to figure out where our strengths are, where our weaknesses are, where these new guys can fit in, where they can complement the existing roster. And you guys mentioned there's two guys coming back that are veterans, Jalen Williams and Dylan Cardwell. They've paid their dues, and you know Bruce likes to go with that a lot in terms of rewarding
experience.
Rewarding experience and rewarding loyalty. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Jalen and Dylan both get a lot of playing time early. And, you know, if you look at our pre-conference schedule, the way the thing is designed, we've got it's a pretty good mix of some really challenging competition, as well as maybe some middle-of-the-road teams that you would think, but you never know, you know, till you play the game. So it wouldn't surprise me to see several different combinations until we get into maybe mid to late December, and then when everything shakes out, depending on how these new guys do, it wouldn't surprise me to see some of the veterans. Your Zepps, your Wendells, maybe your Jalen's, and obviously your Flanagan's be in there come SEC time. But to me, guys, the unknown is Alan Flanagan. Mm-hmm. Can he come back and be the player that he was his freshman and sophomore years? Can he finally fully recover from that injury, both physically and mentally, and return to the play, to his potential? This team needs Alan Flanagan to have a big year for a lot of reasons. He can be a leader, and if he can get back to the Alan Flanagan of old, that's just another weapon that this team will have.
I agree, and kind of going off of that, same thing with Chris Moore. People think he just didn't play much last year because you know he wasn't competing well in practice or he wasn't doing what he needed to do, but Chris Moore was actually battling injury a lot of last season.
Right. Especially down the stretch, last 6 or 8 weeks.
And Chris Moore, I mean, this is a guy we're talking Mr. Arkansas. And I mean, one of the top players in the state of Arkansas. And So I think he has great potential, and he could really get some good minutes at that three spot, you know, if Flanagan isn't being the player we need him to be. And so that's the good thing about having, you know, a lot of depth on your team is, you know, whenever one player is not, you know, doing their job, you know, it's the next man up. And I think that just speaks a testament to the kind of depth we're going to, you know, continue to have into this next season.
And Chris Moore, Jace, is the epitome of a great teammate. If you noticed him on the bench last year, down the stretch, he didn't play hardly at all. As you mentioned, he had an injury, and when he did get in, it was just maybe for, you know, a couple, 3 minutes on a rotation. But if you notice at timeouts, he was the first one off the bench, mm-hmm. leading, encouraging his teammates, you know, kind of trying to fire them up. And to me, that speaks volumes. And he did that game after game after game.
I think.
Knowing that he wasn't going to get many minutes.
Yeah, and well, I think that's huge. And I like what Big E pointed out there, was how he was the first off the bench. But if he was first, let me tell you, there was a guy not far behind him, and that is Babatunde Stretch,
yes,
Akinbola.
Yes, sir.
And that's a guy that's on the team still. And he is Chris Moore and Babatunde, or Stretch, whatever you call him, are two integral, key, super important pieces.
The intangibles.
That yep. people don't appreciate near enough. And absolutely. I don't think that you can say enough about just the type of teammates they are, and they will continue to be this season. Mm-hmm. But I do expect both of them to play a bigger role this year. Now, how much of a bigger role? I don't know. But I do expect both of them to play a bigger role this season.
Stretch is an All-American story. You know, came over here from Africa, had a chance to come to America and literally live the American dream, mm-hmm. and he's taking advantage of every single second of it. He's so appreciative just to be a part of the team,
mm-hmm.
and he's turned out to be a huge, huge leader for this ball club.
Yes, and that's just as, you know, that having those players on the team is just as important as having that player that's going to be that consistent scorer. In order to keep team morale up, even when, you know, you do have those tough times throughout your season. But like Big E mentioned a minute ago, we do kind of have that, you know, pre-conference play where we have those middle-of-the-road opponents. A lot of the time, those opponents can be dangerous. And just kind of looking ahead, Auburn will tip off the season at Auburn Arena on November 7th against George Mason. And George Mason is a team that has tournament experience. They have a history of making the tournament. And so I think, it all starts there. So being ready to play at the beginning of the season, even before you get into conference play, you know, Bruce has always, you know, preached the importance of having that, you know, tougher non-conference schedule so that later in the season, you know, you're just much more ready as a team.
Yeah, and then in mid-December, we got that West Coast swing where we play the University of Washington and USC both on the road back-to-back within 3 or 4 days. That'll be a great challenge as well against two established programs.
I'm really looking forward to that and looking forward to the season in general. But I think unless the other two guys, do y'all have any last comments?
Just one other player that we didn't mention that I think is deserving, and that's Leo Berman.
Definitely.
You know, he's been a walk-on, I guess, since day one. And early on last year in the pre-conference season, he was a key player for this ball club.
Oh, absolutely.
And the coaches will tell you he may be the best pure shooter on the roster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just a great kid. And I think he's played in Israel this summer too. So
yeah, he played with a Jewish team. I'm not sure of the specifics. But I know that they won a gold medal, I think, in whatever league or competition they were playing in.
Yeah.
So I do think I'm glad that Big E mentioned Leor because he is an integral piece as well.
Definitely.
So, I think that'll just about do it for us here at Inside the Jungle. We thank you for listening. And until next time, War Eagle.
War Eagle.
War Eagle.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode on the E2C Network. On your way out, I want to remind you to stop by E2CNetwork.com. It's your one-stop shop for all our content across our podcast, YouTube channel, and much more.
To stay up to date with us, make sure you're following social media accounts such as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. While our content here may always be Auburn sports heavy, if it's orange and blue, it's what we do. War Eagles.